Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Running my switchboard. Oh, Cam.
Hello, John. How are we doing this evening?
All right. We're out. We're without Edward X. Young because Ed is going to some trouble now. As he, I believe he told Ed's father, Edward Young Sr., had a massive stroke about a month ago, and they had to remove part of his skull, and they have a helmet on him now, and the hospital wants to kick Ed's father out because let's see, I don't know, they think it's immoral to hold, to keep him there for free, I guess. See, they want to make Ed take his father home. And the father is so messed up now the way he is that Ed could never give him the kind of care he needs at home. So Ed is right now arguing with the doctors. And but plus, besides all that trouble, Ed tomorrow has to have an operation on his jaw to remove like a piece of his jaw the size of a dime, he said. And because, 16 years ago, Ed had a root canal from a hayseed dentist in New Hampshire, and it botched it up, and Ed has an infected jaw because of this. So,
yeah, so hence why I never trust dentists.
I haven't gone to a dentist in 50 years. No kidding. And as I was saying, Ed has an infected jaw, and Ed won't be speaking for another few days. So
I find that hard to believe.
Huh?
Hard to believe.
Yeah, he was John.
This is John McCormick. Yes.
John McCormick. Yeah, yeah. It's very hard to imagine Ed keeping quiet, but he'll have to be for the next few days. If anyone wants to contact him, just text him. Don't call him. Yeah. Now, as I was saying, Ed's father, he has a hole in his head. Now they want to kick him out on the street with a hole in his head. And Ed is trying to prevent this. I don't know how he's going to do it, but that shows you how bad the profit-based medicine is. Yeah, let's see. Well, he had
been in some sort of halfway house, and they said that he was in worse shape than they were equipped to deal with.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it went from there. I haven't talked to Ed in a few days.
Well, I talked to him a few hours ago.
Oh,
and
okay.
He said he's going to be arguing with the doctors tonight. And it don't look good for Ed's father, because he definitely can't take care or give him the kind of that care he needs at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope it all works out. I know Ed's dad is a nice guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now to the topic of tonight's show, what is anarchism? Now, I'm always saying I'm an anarchist, but I didn't explain what anarchism is.
Anarchism.
I just call it anarchism.
Okay.
Yeah. Anarchism is freedom from capitalism, fascism, and religion. Now, the three, capitalism, fascism, and religion, are closely intertwined, interdependent on each other. They support each other. See, religion upholds and supports capitalism, because capitalism couldn't exist unless it was protected by fascism. And fascism protects capitalism. It couldn't exist unless fascism was protecting it. And religion. Now, what is religion? Religion is a heavily conditioned belief that one has to chain oneself to some kind of drudgery in order to justify one's existence. Now, what was I going to say? See, I always was an anarchist, even 50, 60 years ago, but I didn't use the word in those days. Now, to get back to the profit-based medical system, religion attaches morality to self-centered greed, as if it was immoral for them to keep Ed's father there for free.
Well, John, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you say you pretty much have always been an anarchist, when did you learn anarchism, and like where and who did you learn it from? I mean, was it from your parents, friends, books?
Anarchism, my take on anarchism comes mainly from The Book of Pleasure by Austin Osman Spare. Have you ever heard of The Book of Pleasure or Austin Osman Spare?
I'm afraid not.
Just from when you've mentioned it, but I'm not very, very familiar with it.
Now, Austin Osman Spare was an artist, a sorcerer, a occultist who lived during the mid and early part of the 20th century. He, besides being a great artist, he could summon elementals. Elementals are parts of one's subconscious, and he can have them do things like help him read other people's minds and other things. Now, look up Austin Osman Spare. It's spelled AustinOsmanSpare on the internet. It's pretty much on him there. The Book of Pleasure was his main book, in which he tells the philosophy of self-love. Anarchism is synonymous with self-love. Self-love is pleasing oneself instead of pleasing others. Now, this is the antithesis of capitalism.
Well, anarchism or anarchy, whatever, is the most popular definition is the absence of government and absolute freedom of the individual.
That's right. Yeah.
It's regarded as a political ideal or a state of disorder due to the absence or non-recognition of authority.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anarchy is when there's no government.
Mm-hmm.
Of any kind. That would be that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of an anarchist myself. There are places where they, in recent times, where they've experimented with it. I know there was a community in Alaska that was attracting some attention a few years back because the people moved there. It was a town, but they dispensed with any sort of rules or regulations at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was just basically an anarchistic society that they were working with.
Right,
And I really don't, I don't know how it worked out or what the name of the town was.
Mm-hmm.
I just remembered that it was happening, and I don't know if it still exists or whether everybody wound up shooting each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot of people I'd like to shoot.
But you could see anarchy at work in the animal kingdom. It's just survival of the fittest.
Well, that survival of the fittest is what they call social Darwinism. Social Darwinism is an absurd concept because capitalism cannot exist unless fascism protects it. Now, in the animal kingdom, like the predators, the lion, the tiger, and all those guys, nobody is protecting them. And here, capitalism, business, is always protected. It couldn't exist. So I don't see why anyone takes the concept of social Darwinism seriously. Now, what was I going to say?
Well, social Darwinism is Darwinism as it applies to the human race. Darwinism is survival of the fittest in nature among animals, which is the basis of evolutionary theory.
Mm-hmm. Darwin is very one-sided. See, because in nature there is cooperation between animals as well as competition. Darwin didn't see that. Now, let's see, what was I going to say? Yeah, it's hard for me to talk unless I have everything written down in front of me. That's the way I am. Yeah, now, let's see. What was I going to say? Capitalism is a disease. It's a pathological religion of self-hate. This we see in the at the very top of capitalism, these big corporations like Monsanto and all those people, they inevitably destroy themselves. Big business is the cancer stage of capitalism. It's a concept, a system based on self-hate and not self-love. And it always eventually destroys itself like cancer does. By destroying the host, it ends up killing itself. And this, the collapse of the economic system is imminent and inevitable. Now, I believe all of the fiction about zombie apocalypse is really a collective realization of the economic situation, which is about to collapse inevitably. Because it's based on self-hate. Like, well, for instance, the Great Depression in 1929, that was caused by capitalistic greed. See, capitalism is supported by religion. Religion sanctifies greed. The three, capitalism, fascism, and religion, couldn't exist without each other. They're interdependent. Anarchism is freedom from capitalism, fascism, and religion. Yeah, like I said, it's a
Anarchism, yes, is definitely afraid of those three things.
That's right. Great. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And religion is a heavily conditioned belief. The capitalism of religion of self-hate is, what was I going to say? Yeah, that reminds me of that. See, I have the problem. It's hard for me to talk unless I have written it down in front of me. Like, for instance, the late Minnesota Fats, the pool champion, once said he knows college professors who can't say a single sentence without having it written up in front of them, and he said he could talk for hours without ever repeating himself.
I don't know. For myself, I always got to have notes. I have to have notes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. As for myself, I'm pretty extemporaneous.
Mm-hmm.
I can just rattle on usually.
Mm-hmm.
But, I got
something that's...
Go on,
yeah.
Cameron. How are you, buddy?
I was going to say this is completely off subject, but I was freaked out today because I read an article that in Brazil, it rained spiders today, thousands upon thousands of spiders. If that isn't a sign of something bad going on, I don't know what is. Even the fact that I hate spiders, I would have hated to be in Brazil right now.
Oh, I like spiders. I like spiders. Yeah, that's what you call a Fortean phenomenon. You ever read Charles Fort?
I'm afraid not.
No.
Charles Fort. The late John Keel was a Fortean parapsychologist. And Charles Fort, in the 1920s and 30s, he wrote these three books, I forget the title right now, but this Charles Fort was against deifying science. He would always write about anomalies. He was an anomalist. And he wrote many, many, many happenings like this, a rain of frogs, rain of meat.
Yeah, yeah, you've heard of them, fish over the years.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. So the rain of spiders is a Fortean phenomenon, which I'm sure there's an explanation, we just don't know it yet. And neither does science have an explanation for it yet.
Right. Well, there's always the biblical plague explanation.
Oh, the biblical plague. The theory about that was that the seven plagues of Egypt, that was the a retelling handed down through the centuries of an account of a volcanic eruption.
Okay.
I remember I did a show on that a long time ago. It's got to be on the archives. That the seven plagues of Egypt was a poetic retelling handed down through the centuries orally of the aftermath of a volcanic eruption.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now we get back to our topic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anarchism is synonymous with self-love. Self-love is pleasing oneself.
If individual freedom pleases you, then that's what it would break down to. There's different kinds of things like that over the years. Hedonism, of course, the constant search for pleasure. Epicurism, the constant.
Epicureanism, yeah.
Right. The search for.
Topics of Greek philosophy, Epicureanism, Stoicism, and what was the other one? I forgot the other one. Well,
Cynicism. Yes.
Cynicism was originally meant to live like a dog. The father of the Cynic school of philosophy in ancient Greece was Diogenes. Diogenes, he believed one should live like a dog. Diogenes masturbated in public, and he said he wishes he could satisfy hunger by just rubbing his stomach. And
that would solve many of the world's problems now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure would.
Well, Diogenes was also the one who went through the streets with a lantern, and they asked him what he was doing. He said he was looking for an honest man.
That's right, yeah. And once Alexander the Great, who had heard about him, went to seek him out and told him, "I am Alexander the Conqueror, conqueror of all Europe. Is there anything I could do with you?" And Diogenes says, "Yeah, you can get out of my son." He was sunning himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see now. Diogenes also, I believe, was put to death. And he was working on a mathematical problem he was drawing in the dirt at the time and asked the dude to wait until he had finished it.
No, that's one I didn't hear yet.
Perhaps that was when he encountered Alexander and he was doing the mathematical problem and then he asked Alexander to get out of his light, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and Diogenes, he used to drink out of a metal cup, and then when he realized he didn't, he could just cup his hands to drink water. He threw away the cup and need it.
Mm.
And Diogenes, if he had hair, I'm sure he would have combed his hair with his fingers like I do. Yeah, that's how I get that look. I comb my fingers with my hair. I never use a comb.
It works. It works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And well, an example of a capitalist is my mentally retarded brother Fred. Fred is a college graduate with a master's degree in psychology, but he picks up tin cans for a living.
Hmm.
See, it's possible for one to be a college graduate and still be mentally retarded.
I see him every day. I work for them.
Oh, yeah. What, mentally retarded?
Yeah, there's a few people that I work with that are college graduates, and I have, you know, a high school education, and I'm just like, And somehow we both ended up at the same place in life. Like eight years of college and we make this exact same amount. What was that 8 years of school for?
Yeah.
Well, that's there was something years ago. It was a famous book by Lawrence Peter called The Peter Principle. Do you remember that, John?
I heard about it, but I never read it.
What it the Peter Principle states that in the business world or just about anywhere in life, a person rises to the level of his ineptitude.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a person keeps getting promoted, for example, in the business world, until he gets promoted to a job that he can't handle,
mm-hmm.
and then he stays there.
Yeah, well.
So you reach the level of your ineptitude and don't go any further than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my brother reached the level of his ineptitude. Yeah, Fred is flushed down the toilet bowl of life. Fred is, Fred's only achievement in life always gets flushed down the toilet.
He sounds unlucky.
Yeah, and he never learns. The profit motivation is pathological. The concept of capitalism is pathological. It's a disease of self-hate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. What else am I going to say? The show ends, I'm sure I'll remember the other things.
Do you know when we'll be resuming on Bigfoot Blood Trap, John?
I talked to John Arricchio over a week ago, and he thinks the end of April or the beginning of May.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a long hiatus.
Yeah,
What with his illness and the weather and now Ed's issues.
Yeah, well.
So I'm looking forward to getting back to work on that.
Yeah.
Now, Cameron, I understand that you're coming out east.
In a couple of months. I was going to try to make it out for Chiller. But unfortunately, some bills have kept me from being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends on basically how and when Ed can get better. We were supposed to be shooting some together, but
sounds
like he's kind of got his hands full quite a bit. But
yeah.
Well, I think
Ed has to get his knee operated on soon.
Well, the good thing about the project we're working on requires Ed to basically sit in a chair for the entirety of a 10-minute film. So even with his knee that bad, that was the reason why Ed was like, I can take on that film. He's like, you mean I basically have to sit for, 11 out of 12 pages? I'm like, yep, pretty much.
See, that's what he's doing in Bigfoot Blood Trap as well. He's turning into the 21st century Lionel Barrymore, I think.
Yeah, I think if Ed don't get that operation, he's going to end up playing Long John Silver for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it shows I'm not the only one with troubles. Oh, well. Good luck, Ed. You're going to need it.
Well, everybody has troubles. You just make the best of them. You hope that you have friends and people to help you through them. But when you have them, it's just you have to reach back for that little bit extra.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what you do. Either in a time of struggle, you got to kind of reach, you got to dig down a little bit.
That's right. I mean, so many people just they say to themselves they can't handle it, you know, and I guess this is what keeps the psychoanalyst going. But,
I've often said if I gave up and quit every single time that I said, man, I can't take this, I would have given up 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, you always feel like you can't take it, but, you know, the odds are you can, you know.
I have a friend out in Colorado. He's a musician by the name of Peter Neds, an old friend of mine. And he used to say, I feel so much better since I gave up hope.
You know what? I think that's going to be the I just figured out the title for my next film. It's going to be called Hope is Cancer.
There's a lot to be said for that attitude. I mean, you can't give up hope. Well, that's why in the ancient myth it was the last thing in Pandora's box.
Hope.
Yes, that's the one thing.
Slammed the lid shut before hope escaped.
Well, no, hope was a jewel in the bottom of the box that was there with all the evils of the world. And that's what was left to her.
Yeah.
That's always that.
Yeah, if my brother Fred should croak, most of my problems would be over. I can only hope.
That's a terrible thing to say. And
yeah,
you know you'd miss him when it happens.
No, I wouldn't. You don't know what he's like.
You
know,
who would you have to fight with, John, if it wasn't your brother?
Oh, a lot of people. I don't tell 99% of what the trouble he's caused me.
Well, it keeps you sharp. Keeps you on your toes there.
Well, let's see now. Oh. See, I run out of steam when I talk, and then when I'm out, when I'm finished with the show, I remember a lot of things I should have said.
I forget the French word for that. Something like staircase wit, or something like that. It's called. As you're walking down the stairs to leave the house or something, you remember what you should have said.
yeah, I'm always doing that. Like when you see you watch a movie and you say, oh, why didn't I do this? If only I had thought of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. Let's see. Yeah, it's unusual when I'm allowed to talk without having a head in the wrong place.
I noticed.
See, in the one time you don't have notes.
Yeah. I noticed. I was saying this to a friend of mine recently, who knows Ed. When we're on the set, the only time that Ed is not talking is when the guy says quiet on the set.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it's cut, he just starts right in again. And it's
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I said before, it's a rare occasion when he's
mm-hmm.
not able to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's always got something interesting to say. That's true.
For the next 3 days.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah.
But I had a root canal myself years ago. I don't know if you guys have gone through it.
I did. The early 1960s, the tooth lasted nearly 40 years.
I know. The one that I had I had it done, let me see, about 25 years ago, and it just fell out last year.
Ooh. Mine took almost 40 years to fall out.
You're older than me, I believe.
Yeah, I know.
But
not much older.
Not by too much. But I've been losing them lately. Well, I hope I'm done losing them.
Yeah, if you're past 60, that teeth are a luxury.
Well, you got to take care of them.
Yeah,
I just wanted to smile
with my mouth closed.
But before I had the root canal, everybody was like, oh, root canal this and root canal that, like it was such agony. And,
mine was.
I had the thing done. It wasn't that bad at all. I went straight to work at telemarketing, as a matter of fact. The guy gave me, I had a prescription filled. They had given me some, I don't know, Valiums or something during the operation. And, I felt like $1 million. I said, oh, you can't go to a place. You got to hang out here. I said, I got to go to work. I was within walking distance of my job. I just went to work and...
mine hurt before the root canal. I had an abscess tooth.
So well, you have to have it done. John, is your show every week these days?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
wonderful. Yeah, because I know that you were doing like once a month or every other week or something like that for a little while.
When Cameron wasn't available.
Oh, okay. Well, God bless you then,
Cameron. Yeah, I had to work some pretty odd hours at that point, but I pretty much now at least at my job work a straight day shift.
Okay.
There was days when I would close one night and then the next morning I'd have to open at the store, so it was a little crazy for a while, but. My life is getting a little bit more normal now, which is, I'm thankful for that.
Good. Looking forward to seeing you when you come out here to the shore, the fabulous shore. You're coming at the right time of year,
I haven't been out there since 2003.
Jersey Shore, you're saying?
I went out there. I was in Jersey for a little while when... I went to 2003 Chiller show. It was the one time I've been to Chiller. Went there on a road trip with like five friends in one very large and very smelly conversion van.
Oh, gosh.
You put a half dozen guys together in one van on a 17-hour car ride, It was like a movie in and of itself. It was more like Animal House, I think, than anything.
Yeah, that sounds like a good trip. I haven't taken a little road trip like that in a while. I'm due for one. Now, when is the Chiller Convention?
It's next weekend.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're not coming out for that then, right?
Oh, no. I wasn't able to. This thing's with work. I think I'm coming out probably last week of May, first week of June. I'm just going to make a weekend trip of it. Long story short, I'm in the middle of like a training thing at work. I'm training for a new position, and I'm not able to get the days off in order to do it.
I see. Well, good luck with it. Now, where is the Chiller Festival, John?
It's in Parsippany.
Okay. Is your buddy Zachary going to be there this year?
I sure hope so.
Who knows? Maybe I'll even make the... it's next weekend?
Next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I guess that means we won't be filming then. That's a shame. I really would like to get this movie done. I got to talk to John about that myself, the good part is with all this hiatus, he's probably been able to edit everything and get a good idea of what's going on.
Now, John, you got about 60 seconds left. If there's anything you wanted to touch base on,
we're already used up the after party.
Yeah, it's 10:45. This thing's going to cut off any second now.
Yeah.
Good talking to you guys again.
Yeah, John. Cameron, I'd like to do soon a memorial for James Best. Do you remember James Best?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
But only if I could have Linnea as my guest, because she worked with him.
Oh, really?
The movie Death Mask, which is a good picture.
Well, she's an old buddy of yours. Give her a call.
That was mostly filmed on his property, too, if I remember right. It was filmed on his ranch in Florida.
You were there with James Best? You knew
him? No, I just I'd heard him tell the story about it on the